Hello and welcome to Bowel Cancer UK's podcast. We're the UK's leading bowel cancer charity. We're determined to save lives and improve the quality of life of everyone affected by bowel cancer. Now, we fund targeted research, provide expert information and support to patients and their families, educate the public and professionals about the disease, and campaign for early diagnosis and access to best treatment and care. Hello, I'm George Alagaya, and when I'm not doing this, I'm a journalist for the BBC. Today, we're going to talk about living with a stoma. Now, I remember when I was told about a stoma, because I'm being treated for bowel cancer myself, I didn't know what it is. So with me, we've got here in the studio, we've got Andrea Robson, who was diagnosed with bowel cancer a few years ago and has a stoma. Welcome.
Hello.
We also have Lisa Allison, who's our resident expert on stomas, who is a clinical nurse specialist in pouch care at Northwick Park and St Mark's Hospital in London. It's a big title. I hope I've got it right. Welcome. And
you.
Lisa, in fact, you two know each other because you helped Andrea.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
As I was saying, Lisa, just very briefly before we get on, tell us what a stoma is, because I didn't know.
So a stoma is where an opening is made in the abdomen or the tummy, and a piece of either the small bowel or the large bowel is brought out onto the surface of the tummy. So bowel contents or poo comes through the bowel out of the stoma into a bag that then sticks on the tummy and collects the bowel contents.
All right. So we have an idea, because I suspect some of the people who are listening to this podcast may not actually know. Andrea, can you just tell us what it was like when you first realised and were told you had bowel cancer, and then when you had to deal with a stoma?
Yeah, it was back in 2016. So I'd been increasingly got poorly throughout the year. But I'm a bit of a tricky one because I had another illness and it's basically the same symptoms as bowel cancer. So I had tummy pain, going to the loo for 20 times one day, then not the next. I was bleeding. I had increased fatigue, especially the few months before I was diagnosed. I used to hide in the toilets at work and have like little breaks because I was so tired. And then I remember just before I got diagnosed, I was vomiting quite a bit and I was having a lot of blood and I thought, ooh, this isn't right.
So you're really, really unwell.
Yeah, proper poorly, I'd say. So I took myself to St Mark's Hospital thinking I was just having a really bad flare-up of my other illness.
And St Mark's was your local hospital, was it?
Not my local hospital, but it was my hospital. Yeah, I have a consultant there. So,
So
they admitted me and had various tests, had a sigmoidoscopy, a colonoscopy, and then that's where they found
all these things you've never heard of before, really.
I know, it's nuts. And it's like an alien autopsy, isn't it? Getting prodded and poked. But and then that's when they found my tumour, which I nicknamed Jabba the Hutt because it was quite gross at the time. And then a week later, I was diagnosed in hospital. And I remember the doctor was saying he was in shock that I had it. And I was in total shock because I didn't even think one minute it'd be cancer. I just thought I was just having a really rough year. It didn't...
Because of this other disease you had.
Yeah.
What was it called again?
It's called ulcerative colitis.
Okay.
So again, it's another bowel disease.
Yeah.
I was in quite... I think I was just in shock that day. I don't know whether you were similar. As soon as I heard the word cancer, I was like... I don't think I could speak for a few minutes.
Absolutely. I mean, you just never think it's going to be you, you know.
Yeah, exactly,
Well, we'll perhaps get on to the shock later. So at what point in after your diagnosis did you know you were going to have this thing called a stoma?
To be honest, it was near enough straight away.
Really?
As soon as they told me, I had a scan, went off and had a CT scan, and then when I came back, a Macmillan nurse was there, had a chat with her for about an hour, and then... Oh, just a few minutes later, one of Lisa's colleagues came to chat with me about, you're more than likely, well, you probably will have to have a stoma.
And,
so
and,
she had a little chat then.
And at that point, you didn't know what a stoma was?
I knew about them, but I didn't know the different types. I'd only heard of a colostomy bag. I hadn't heard of ileostomy, which I've got, and, you know, all the terminology and things, and... Yes, all I knew was literally a bag on my tummy. So,
Did you remember, Andrea, at all? Or you must see a lot of patients.
I mean, yes, no, I remember Andrea
you do,
very well.
You do.
Yes, and I went to visit you after the surgery, I think, and helped you learn how to care for your stoma so that you could go home.
But just tell me, what is it like? I mean, for you, it's an everyday thing. But are you aware that for a patient, you know, you're already struggling with a diagnosis of cancer, and then you've got this whole thing to deal with? How aware are you of that?
Very, very much so. And I think when someone's had a cancer diagnosis, it's hugely shocking for both the person it's affecting and their families. And I think the role of the stoma care nurse is very important to sit the patient and their family down, explain again why, what the surgery will involve and why they may need a stoma, to follow on from what the doctors have been discussing, and to explain how the stoma will affect them in their everyday life, essentially, but also to tailor that information per the patient. You don't want to bombard them with too much information. So sometimes if we feel it's too much, we will sort of tail it back a bit, and we will always go through everything after the surgery as well, along with written information.
And now my nurse showed me a photograph of a stoma. Is that what you do as well?
If patients are happy to see a photo, we always introduce it if you'd like to see a photo. And the same with a stoma bag or an appliance. Would you like to see one? And there's always the option of going home with a starter kit for them to practice having a bag on the tummy, maybe putting some water in there to get used to emptying it, and just the feel of something on their tummy. So
actually, perhaps we should go back a little bit. So why do you need a stoma? I mean, you've got cancer. Why do you need a stoma? Why do you need this thing coming out of your tummy?
So it's all dependent on what piece of the bowel needs to be removed because of the cancer. So when there is a tumour in commonly the large bowel, the tumour has to be removed and some surrounding clear bowel tissue has to be removed and a new join made. So in order to protect that join, a stoma away from the join will be brought out onto the surface of the tummy. So commonly it's used as a sort of a safety mechanism so that the poo comes out of the stoma bag rather than carrying on through the bowel to where this new join is. So it's commonly a safety mechanism. Or if someone's got a bowel cancer lower near their back passage, it may be that they need a slightly different sort of stoma, so a colostomy, which may be permanent, because when that new join is made, it may give someone quite poor bowel function. So a stoma is an option.
You know what, Lisa, it's quite interesting the way you talk about poo, actually. You're obviously completely comfortable. But as everyone knows in the bowel cancer world, one of the reasons, you know, diagnosis sometimes so late is we're not very good with us Brits talking about poo and bottoms and things like that. So you're completely comfortable. So suddenly you get told, Andrea, that you're going to have a stoma. Mm. What was your reaction?
Oh, completely shocked. I was petrified as well. I think that was probably one of the first things, was not necessarily the stoma, but the thought of having the surgery, because I'd never had anything like that before. And, you know, going through all of that and then what it was going to be like when I woke up, and then having a bag on me, and oh God, what do I do? You know, it's all a bit of a whirlwind, really.
And try to remember. So you're coming out of surgery. You've had this operation. They've taken some of your bowel out. They've joined the bits, and you've got a bit of your, as Lisa's explaining, a bit of your gut coming out of your tummy. When you first saw your stoma, what did you think?
You know, it was funny because with all the drugs that you're on, I remember been told by my other half that I was pretty cocky for the first couple of days. And actually, one of the first people I do remember is actually Lisa. I remember my boyfriend a bit hazily, but yeah, Lisa was one of the first people I remember. And I remember her saying, "Do you want to see the stoma?" And I was lying in the ITU bed at the time going, "Yeah, great, yeah, I want to see it." So I was all for it. It's like, yeah, that's nothing, it's fine. And then it'll have been about 2 days later when I was a bit more with it back in the ward, and Lisa and another nurse was with me, and I was like, oh, no, don't like it, don't want to see it. So, yeah, it's funny.
Right, I should say now, for those of a delicate disposition, I'm afraid we are going to have to sort of talk about what comes out. I mean, Lisa, you said poo, but in my case, I had an ileostomy, which is the one where they take a bit of the gut higher up, isn't it? And it wasn't really poo in the sense that we think about it. It was quite a lot of liquid. Mm-hmm. So it's just, I mean, basically, it's very difficult to manage. You're getting liquid coming out of your body. It's going into a bag. You've got to seal it and so on. You've got all these specialist plasters and things like that. But it isn't easy, is it?
No, I mean, it is life-changing surgery, whether someone has a small bowel stoma, so an ileostomy, or a large bowel stoma, so a colostomy. It is life-changing, and it takes quite a lot of practice and getting into a routine and kind of establishing when is the best time to change the stoma bag, particularly with the ileostomy, because it can be quite active at certain times of day, depends what someone's going to eat, and it does take a lot of time, particularly when you're feeling unwell after surgery. So stoma care nurses are really important to support the patient and the mental side of things as well as the practical side, because it all comes hand in hand.
How long have you, Andrea, had your stoma now?
Just over 2 years now.
Just over 2 years, and you're back at work?
Yep, back at work.
So just describe some of the challenges perhaps of going back to work with it.
Well, one thing, it's great because you're multitasking, aren't you? You can sit at my desk and I probably could be actually pooping at the same time. So, you know, I'm probably helping my workplace out for them.
But were you like me? I was always thinking, looking around my colleagues and thinking, can they smell anything? Can they hear anything?
Yeah.
Didn't you find that?
To be honest, I still do sometimes, because sometimes you can kind of feel the stoma moving and wriggling about. Yeah. And I'm like, oh, is it doing something? Or if I've got maybe tighter jeans on or something, I'm like, oh gosh, have I just gone and squished it too much and it leaks? But
By the way, I should say, apart from being an incredibly attractive woman, Andrea's, I mean, to sort of dressed, I mean, you couldn't tell, could you, Lisa, that Andrea's got a stoma? I mean, which is interesting, actually, because as a man, anyway, wearing a suit for work, you know, when I'm not doing this, I'm reading the news for the BBC, I had to get my suit's taken out and wear braces and so on, so I could, because it was higher up. I mean, do you give advice, Lisa, on clothing and so on?
So when we prepare someone for having a stoma, we will always look at where they wear their waistband. The stoma is usually placed below the belly button, so between the belly button, the hip bone and the sort of pubic bone. And that is key in putting the stoma in a place that's going to work for the person as to where they wear their clothes. So very much so. And there's accessories that can help, one, make someone feel more secure with the stoma, but two, kind of conceal it a little bit,
right,
which helps with the mental aspect. So kind of lycra bands, all-in-one bands that help go just above the waistband, that help hold everything in. So there's lots of different ways of managing things to make people feel more comfortable.
I find it was kind of, you had to decide what kind of clothes you're wearing. So most of the time, when I was at home, when I could wear jeans, the waistband was below the stoma, if you like, and the bag just hung over and I just didn't tuck my shirts in. But going to work, I mean, do you tuck your shirts in and that kind of thing? Are you able to do that? How formally do you have to dress?
Luckily, I work in a media agency as well,
so I can
be a bit relaxed and wear kind of quite a lot of various things. But at the beginning, I did just live in elastic waistbands for about the first 6 months. And I did actually start wearing maternity jeans when I wanted to wear jeans, but they were too uncomfortable. Like you say, they're either a bit too low or they just didn't feel quite right over it. So I actually bought some. One of my friends said, why don't you wear maternity jeans? And I was like, genius. So that I actually wore those for probably the first 8 months. And now and again, I sometimes still do because they're super comfy.
But now you're dressed, as I say, you're just dressed completely normally.
Yeah.
Lisa, to what extent do you feel you've got to prepare not just the patient, but the family? I mean, is that part of your work?
Very much so. So we always meet the patient and their family or support network before the surgery and go through, say, what the surgery is going to involve and how the stoma is going to impact on their daily routine, the diet, hydration, so making sure keeping fluids up, exercise, so sporting activities, and how it's going or may affect that person with a stoma, but also how they should, once they've recovered from the surgery, be able to resume all sort of everyday activities. Now, it's not going to shouldn't have a huge impact.
Well, that's interesting. You say sporting activity, because I was about to say I was quite sporty. I mean, I tried, you know, I played tennis and squash and things, not particularly well, any of it. But I've got to say, I never did that, actually. The only exercise I got was on an exercise bike. Andrea, do you do any exercise now?
I do now. I didn't so much in the first year because I was too tired on chemo and stuff. I did try and do yoga. I think that's where I started. I started doing gentle yoga to begin with, but now I do go to the gym. I do use weights and
okay, but
things like that.
Can you? I've heard people can actually swim.
Yes. Oh no, very much so.
How does that work?
So once someone's recovered from the surgery and they've got confidence in their stoma bag or their appliance, then it does take a bit of planning. So ideally, before you get in the pool or go in the sea, you empty the stoma bag before. But that you should be able to go swimming with a stoma bag. The appliances nowadays are brilliant and they're designed to get wet, whether that be in the bath, the shower or swimming pool, sea. They right. won't fall off because they've got wet.
Do you do this thing, Andrea, where, you know, if you know you've got an evening out or something, I mean, take a load of, I don't know if we can talk about products, but it was Imodium I used to take. You know, which sort of solidifies everything. Do you do that?
I do sometimes, not all the time, because sometimes I'm a bit forgetful, but I do, I always have some in my bag as well, so I'll...
Yeah, so you basically slow everything down, don't you? So I used to load up on it if I was going out, because sometimes the special thing is to make a noise, actually, and I find the embarrassment factor too much, so I just try and slow it all down. When you left the hospital, Andrew, did Lisa give you a little kind of kit?
Yes, still got the same
Have
bag.
You? So what colour was your bag?
It was blue.
Oh, mine was blue as well.
Did you get a little mini blue bag
inside?
Yeah.
It's really interesting because, I mean, in my work, before I was presenting the news, I used to be a foreign correspondent. I used to have this bag, a satchel, which had everything I needed, you know. You know, the drop of a hat, I could get on a plane and I knew I could do my work. And suddenly this blue bag became my new thing that I would take everywhere we went. Yeah. And did you take it to restaurants and things like that?
Yeah, to be honest, I've actually got the small one actually with me in my bag outside,
because
it's quite a nice squishy size. You can squish it in your handbag and things like that. It fits in well, but
And did you get a key for disabled Lou's?
Yes. Yeah, radar key, big silver magic key.
So how did you feel about that? Because I suddenly thought, God, am I disabled? Which, you know, you don't think about that. And what were your thoughts?
No, I know, it's funny, isn't it? Some people say, oh, you're kind of classed as disabled, but you don't feel it because you feel...
No.
Once you're recovered and feel fine, you kind of feel normal. But then I guess I do have a...
I mean, I'll tell you what I used to find difficult was, and I don't know, Lisa, if you give people advice on this. So I had a stoma, but I didn't look disabled. And I would be turning the key in a disabled loo at a motorway service station or something. And if there was a queue and somebody obviously, you know, disabled, I used to feel guilty and think, you know, and feeling like I needed to apologise and explain.
I've had that before.
You've had that. Has anyone questioned you?
I haven't had questions as such, but I have had a few dirty looks. And I've gone in or come out of one, they think I've just nipped in for a...
Because there isn't a queue.
I feel that there is a real drive with supermarkets and shopping centres, even just the last couple of years, to change the signs on disabled toilets to accessible toilets. And because someone is not in a wheelchair or walking with a pair of crutches, that they may need those sort of slightly larger toilet facilities to have some more privacy because they've got a condition that's not obvious to everyone else. So I feel that there is a drive to change the perception of having a stoma.
And the reason you need to go into disabled loo is you just do need a little bit of space, actually, to you know, get your little contents of your little blue bag out and ready and, you know, the sanitising equipment and so on. There's one other area I wanted to talk about, is intimacy.
Mm-hmm.
Now, so are you married or you've got a boyfriend?
Got a boyfriend.
Boyfriend.
Yep.
So how did he feel about it first when you told him you're going to have a stoma?
No, I've been very lucky. He's been super supportive throughout, actually. And I think he just let me kind of tell him everything. He was just more of a listener than anything else. And I know he's told me afterwards, he did go away and research.
Okay.
Stomas and what it entailed and things like this. So he was a little bit clued up.
But at what point did you show him your stoma? Or have you? Has he seen it?
He has. I showed him it in hospital.
So straight away.
And then, when I was at home, I took the bag off and actually made him see the actual stoma part sticking out. So.
And why did you do that?
No, I just thought if he's going to be with me. I think he should know and see what, you know, it's all about and how I'm feeling and things like this. It's good for him to understand and just see it rather than hide it. I think it's better to be open and be honest about it all.
You see, that's really interesting. I don't know if this is a kind of boy thing, but I remember practicing away at in the hospital, but telling myself, I mean, obviously my wife was going to see, you know, we're lying in bed and, you know, had a bag, but I didn't want her to actually see the thing because I've got to be honest. I mean, you seem to have embraced your stoma. I kind of found it difficult. I mean, it was okay, but I was quite keen to get rid of it, which I have. I've had what's called a reversal. But I remember thinking, I don't want my wife to see it. And, of course, what happened was I got home and for whatever reason, and this does happen, doesn't it, Lisa, it started leaking. I went back up to the bathroom to try and clean myself up. We just sat down for our first kind of what I hoped was going to be an intimate evening. You know, we poured ourselves some drinks and that kind of thing. And there I was in the loo. This thing was kept, you know, spurting out. And my wife had to come and help me. Now, is that quite common that partners help with this thing? Or what's your advice, actually?
I think it varies hugely from person to person. One, the sort of events in leading up to having a stoma, whether it's all happened very quickly, because some people get diagnosed, you know, one day and they're informed they have cancer, and then by the end of the week they might be having the cancer surgery and a stoma, which is obviously a huge amount of information, you know, life-changing very, very quickly. So I think people react to having a stoma a different way, and people's support networks are very, very different. And some people prefer to keep their stoma to themselves, and they will, you know, are independent with it, they're going to manage it themselves, and some will get their partners involved from day one. So when we teach a patient on the ward how to care for their stoma, sometimes they say, would you mind waiting until my partner comes in so that they can learn how to look after the stoma? Not necessarily because they feel they need help, but just so they, like with Andrea and her partner, has sort of an understanding of what the stoma looks like and how it's going to act. But having a stoma, and I'm sorry to hear, George, you had a bad experience within a short period of getting home.
Well, I was absolutely expert, actually, in the hospital. I thought, blimey, you know, 10 on 10. I was super confident. But the first evening.
So yeah. To have leaks is not kind of the norm with having a stoma. I think if stoma care nurses have spent time with the patient and putting a mark in a good place, and there's nothing has changed.
Well, don't blame my nurses. No, I think it was all me.
But with the output and things being manageable, then leaks are not the norm with having a stoma. I'm not going to say you would never have a leak when you have a stoma, because there's a few reasons why that may happen, but it's not the norm. So I'm sorry you had that experience.
But there is a difference, isn't there, between the stoma I had, which was an ileostomy, which is higher up the gut, so what's coming out is more fluid, and the colostomy, which is lower down the gut and it's more solid, so less chance of a leak. Is that right?
Very much so. So when someone has an ileostomy from the end of the small bowel, commonly they would need to empty the bag about 4 or 5 times a day of technically a porridgey, pasty-like consistency, and they may or may not need loperamide or Imodium to slow it down, and they can change the appliance or bag every day or every other day.
Yeah.
With a colostomy, the person with that sort of stoma is going to pass sort of formed solid stools. So they may have a cup of tea in the morning, their bowel works, the poo comes into the bag, they change the bag, and then they replace it. And that might be it for the day, or they might open their bowels twice a day. So it is quite different than that it's formed stool.
I think we're slightly running out of time. Andrea, if you had to give someone advice, all right, someone's gone through the thing that both of us have had, been diagnosed with cancer, we've been told, they've been told they've got to have a stoma, what would your top tip be?
You know what, I'd definitely say, you know what, you're still going to be you. Might be a slightly different you, but you are still you. You can still do everything you love. You can still eat what you like and do exercise. You can still be you, basically. And if you're struggling or if you have any problems, always call your stoma nurse. That's probably my biggest tip, is always call your stoma nurse, because they'll have heard all sorts of problems probably 1,000 times, and they will be able to help you out with either new products and sticky things or bags or creams, or they can just chat to you and, you know, offer advice.
Actually, I should say there is an incredible support network, isn't there, out there, from the manufacturers, the different products, the different shaped bags and so on. What would your top tip be, Lisa?
I think, as Andrea says, seek support from stoma care nurses. There's a huge number of stoma care charities out there now, support groups. Both a lot of hospitals now have local support groups. You can go for coffee, go for lunch, talk to people who have got stomas, either before your surgery if there's time or after. It's some people prefer to keep it to themselves, but I think seek support from people who have been there, done that is key.
And just one very quick thing. Diet is an important thing. I mean, you've got to be careful, and you'll get advice about what to eat. I mean, I seem to remember eating an awful lot of starchy, white, pasty stuff.
Yes, so we always go through dietary advice in the early sort of post-operative days, and then written information.
And the Vindaloo is definitely off. All right. Well, listen, Andrea, Lisa, thank you. Thank you both so much. I feel like we've hopefully allayed the concerns anyone might have had listening to this about having a stoma, but also addressed why they're important, why they're needed. Thank you both, as I say, so much for coming in, and Andrea in particular being willing to talk in such a frank way. I know I found it actually really interesting to be with a fellow stoma wearer, although I haven't got one now. Now, just remember that for more information about stomas, just visit the Bowel Cancer UK's website. That's bowelcanceruk, that's all one word, lowercase, .org.uk. And thank you all for listening. And don't forget to carry on the conversation on social media. Tag us on @bowelcanceruk. Goodbye.